It's my privilege to be able to announce our special speaker who's with us this morning. First of all, let me ask if you have had any involvement at all in the past years with Operation Christmas Child, whether you prayed for OCC, helped pack boxes, helped load the trucks or anything, just shoot your hand up real quick. Number of people. Very good. Okay. Well, you're in for a treat because human nature is, you know, you serve and you do things and you wonder, is this going to really accomplish anything? Is there going to be some result from what I do? And you'll be going to see that there's a big exclamation point. Yes, there is some great results coming from that ministry. If you've not been involved with Operation Christmas Child, you also are in for a treat because you're going to hear about the amazing story of another life that has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. So, before I invite our speaker up, I just want to say we have a number of folks who are with us this morning who are involved in the organization of Operation Christmas Child itself. So if you folks are with us for the first time, we'd like to recognize you. So why don't you stand up? We thank you for all that you... Come on, Wally and Todd, thank you for what you do. Very good. Okay. All right. Isabella McMillan is from Romania. I've had the privilege of actually visiting Romania at one point in time. And I'm not going to steal any of her thunder. At this point, I will invite her to come up and share with us. Thank you. All right. Glad you're here.
Good morning, New Song. I am amazed to see all the hands up. This is fantastic. So you guys know a whole lot about OCC, and you guys are maybe can be called an OCC fanatic church. Right? That's what I understand. You know, when I came in this morning, I said, can you just tell me a little bit about this church and how you guys have been involved with Operation Christmas Child? And to hear that for over 20 years, you guys have been shoebox packers. And for the last 10 years, you have been a collection center, seeing all the shoeboxes coming in. So this morning, really, just by being here, just simply want to say thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel and for your dedication so that many, many children can proclaim exactly what we sang this morning, that they are no longer slaves of fear, but they're a child of God today through this ministry and through what you are doing through Operation Christmas Child. So really, honestly, here this morning, just simply to share with you and bring it in perspective that this ministry truly is one that is reaching out to millions of children every year. And they are not just delivering a simple shoebox gift filled with items. Those are a very good tangible representation of Christ's love. But when they receive one of these shoeboxes, they're also receiving the message of the gospel. And that is the most important gift that we can give to any child. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but beyond that, we also invite these children now to come back to a 12-week discipleship program. So we are not just delivering Jesus and we say, here it is, go figure it out on your own, good luck. But we're also providing a support system for them. We are training local pastors, local volunteers, local teachers who are going to train these children for 12 weeks after they receive the shoebox so that they can understand how to walk this life with Christ, how to go out there and to become disciple-making disciples themselves. And the most beautiful thing that comes out of the shoeboxes is that what we are seeing is that these churches where the shoeboxes go in are exploding. And we are seeing a new problem. Now we have to build bigger churches and more pastors and more teachers have to come on board. And that's what we get to be a part of when we are part of Operation Christmas Child. And today I am so excited that I can be on this side of Operation Christmas Child. And I can, with Jesus' words, tell you what is in my heart, that it is so much better to give than to receive. Because at one point in my life, I was living in Romania, just like your pastor said. So don't be fooled. This is not a southern accent. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, but that is not where this is coming from, y'all. I learned that much from North Carolina. It doesn't go very well here, though. Y'all don't say that. But my story starts back in Romania. And when I was born, it was already communism in Romania. If you don't know much about communism, what that meant for us is that we were not allowed to worship. We were not allowed to go to church. We were not allowed to have a Bible. If you were to take a Bible in your hand and walk down on the streets, that could have cost your life. And so because of that, we grew up not knowing about who God is. We grew up not knowing about this book. We grew up not even speaking the name of God because it was simply not allowed and not safe. My parents were very hardworking people. They worked in a factory their entire lives. And I have a brother who is 3 years older than me. And so from the time I was 3 years old, my parents, they had to work. So they had to leave the home at 5:30 in the morning, and they would leave us at home. I was three, and my brother was in charge of me. He was 6 years old. He was the big boy in the house. And so we had to get up with an alarm clock on our own. We had to eat our breakfast, get dressed, brush our teeth, and put our key around our neck. We had a key on a string that we had to put around our neck and hide under our clothes, and then cross a busy street with no stoplight to get to school. And so that's just how we did life. And because of that, we became very independent very fast in life. And I want you to hear this from me. It wasn't because my parents were neglectful of us. This is just how everybody did life around us, because they had to survive. And my parents did all they could to try to put food on the table every single night. It wasn't much, but they had to work very hard for it to make it happen. Communism didn't make it easy to have things. We didn't have much food. We went by on a very, very little. It was a very, really big celebration for my dad, especially because he really liked to eat meat. And so whenever we had meat on the table, that was a big deal at our house. Most of the time, it was just a simple soup that had maybe some vegetables, mostly potatoes in it. We had potatoes, but we didn't have much. We didn't have many things to entertain us. We didn't have toys. We didn't have just things around the house. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have things that we could call our own to really entertain us. One thing that my brother and I learned very early in life and we loved to do was to read. We had about 3 books in our house, and we read them inside out. Now, we didn't have electricity most nights. After it was dark outside, it was time to go to bed because the government would control how much electricity you could have. And so whenever they wanted to cut it off, they just cut it off. So most nights, there was no electricity available. So whenever it was dark outside, it was bedtime for us. So our big mischievous behavior at night would be to get under a blanket with a flashlight and read these 3 books over and over and over again. And even though we knew them inside out from cover to cover, we still sat there and we would read them over and over again. Now, I was 7 years old when one day I went home from school. My brother and I, we were home, and we had always 3 very simple instructions that we had to do when we came home from school. We had to eat our lunch, we had to do our homework, and we had to behave. And that behaving part got tricky sometimes. You know, my parents got home around 6:30 every single night. They were coming on a bus that was coming on a schedule. We knew exactly when they were coming. And so we had quite a bit of time to fail and to figure out how to do this behaving part. And so I remember that day when we came home, I was 7 years old, my brother was 10, and we came home, we ate our lunch, we did our homework, so we were just looking around for what can we do today. And as we were looking around in the house for something to do, we had an area rug in our living room, and we noticed that there was something underneath our area rug that was bulging. And so we pulled up this area rug, and one of the tiles of our wooden floor was loose. And so we picked up this tile, and the tile came up, and then the next tile came up, and then the next tile came up. And before we knew it, there was a little hole in the floorboard of our house. And in that hole that day, we found the Bible. Never heard about a Bible before. We had no idea what it was, but we pulled it out. And when we looked at it, all we could tell it was a book. So we had another book in our house. Now, we were taught in school that you read a book from start, right? You start right at the beginning and you go till the end. So that's exactly what we did. We opened it up at the beginning. And I want you to think with me for just a second. How would it be if you were to take this book in your hand today and this was the first time you have ever seen it? You don't know anything about it. And you start reading it. There's some exciting stories in this book, aren't there? And we started reading these stories and we thought, wow, This is so cool. And one of the stories that stood out so much to us was the story of Noah, the big boat and all the water that covered the earth. That's a pretty amazing story. You know, we are so used to it. We have on our nursery walls, although if you dare to think about it, it's kind of scary. But here we are reading these stories, and we were just absolutely amazed. And Mom and Dad came home at 6:30 that night, and we were so excited. We ran up to the door, and we greeted them, and we said, Mom, Dad, look what we found. And as soon as I looked at my dad, I just knew that something was not right. And he looked at us, and he said, you take that book back where you found it, and do not ever take it out again. So we knew that this was serious, but he didn't tell us why. And you know how it is when you tell a child not to do something? It becomes a little more exciting, right? And so now we wanted to know, why can't we read this book? What's so wrong with this book? You see, my dad, he knew very well that in every community in Romania, there were spies who were implemented in the community who lived among us, and you never knew who those people were. So he was very scared that we would go out and we would tell somebody, and then if they were to find out that we were harboring a Bible in our home, our family could disappear. We could be gone the next day. So this was very, very serious. But us, with the mind of a child, we didn't really understand the severity of it. So can I just tell you that the next day, when we came home from school, because we watched our dad tuck this book back and put the tiles back and put the carpet back, and so when we came home the next day, now we knew the treasure that was sitting in the floorboard of our house. And I remember rushing to eat our lunch and rushing to do our homework so we can get to this book, because we just wanted to know what the next story was. And taking this book out and reading the next story and just soaking it up. Now, I want to make clear that you understand that at this point, we had no idea that this is God's word, that there is a big God behind these stories. They were just storybook. It was just a storybook to us. But I will never forget the excitement that came with running home, rushing to get everything else out of the way that we had to do so we can get to this book and read it. And today, you and I, we have this book freely at our fingertips. And when was the last time that you and I could hardly wait to get everything else out of the way so we can get to God's word, so we can see what he has to say? And I get convicted by that. Where is that passion for God's word? We have it right here at our fingertips. So I want to challenge you with that. If you walk away with nothing else today from here, I want to challenge you to have a renewed excitement for God's word, because it is precious and it's life-changing. And you will never be the same if you read this book focusing on who God is and what he can do in your life. When I was 11 years old, one of my classmates came up to me. I was in the fifth grade. We were in the courtyard out for recess. And this classmate of mine came up to me and he said, Isabella, I have something that I want to tell you. So he proceeded to tell me that he was going to a little underground church about a mile down the street from our school, and he was going there Saturday nights after dark. And he invited me to go with him. Now, I have never heard the word church before. I didn't know what people do at church. But he told me that what it was, there were about 12 kids that were going there, and it was story time. That there was this man there who had a big book, and he would read from this big book really exciting stories that he has never heard before. And that was that. And so I thought to myself, well, this is right up my alley. I love stories. I love to read. So I went home, and I asked my dad if I could go to church. I give you one guess what he said. Well, he wasn't so excited about it. And so I went back to my friend, and I told him that my dad is not so excited, so I don't know what you folks do at church. But can you tell me some more so maybe I can convince my dad? Because to me, it sounded really exciting. And so as this classmate of mine tells me more and more about this little church, I got more and more excited and wanted to go. So I got my brother into my court, and I said, okay, if we go together, we can conquer better. And so we went to Dad, and we started trying to convince him to allow us to go to this little church on Saturday nights after dark They would give us a schedule when we had to arrive. Everybody had to arrive at different times so it would not draw attention from the outside world. And so we started asking that over and over and over again. And I think finally he just wanted us out of his hair and he just said, well, if your brother goes with you, you can go. So that is how I started going to a little underground church in communist Romania as an 11-year-old. And I remember when I got there, we were sitting in a circle, and the pastor was reading from a big hardcover orange book, and he was reading us stories. And I thought to myself, wow, this is so cool. And I loved it. And it was who, what, where questions afterwards, just to make sure we understood what the story was about. But he never could actually explain to us that there's more to these stories or pray with us, because he had to be very aware of spies that could be implemented in that little church, even through children who were coming. But it was about 2 months after I started going to this little church that he was reading a story to us. And I was thinking to myself, I know this story from somewhere. And it dawned on me, and I realized, and I got so excited, and I raised my hand and I said, I know this story from somewhere. I have this book in my house. And he didn't really say anything. He didn't react, but he pulled me and my brother to the side afterwards. And we sat down and we had a very good face-to-face conversation. And on that day, I realized that the book that he was reading from was the same book that I had, that didn't make any sense to me. His was big and hardcover and orange, and mine was little and black. How can we have the same stories in it? In Romania, everything was uniform. That was part of what the government tried to install in everybody. But on that day, I gained a new excitement for this book. Now I wanted to know every story so I can go to church every Saturday evening and I can raise my annoying little hand and I can finish his story before he can. And I was 13 years old, about 2 years after I started going to this little church. And it started to get really, really cold outside. It was about mid-September. And I do not like cold, not to this day. I never did. But I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be a really, really long winter. And I thought the only way that we will have any fun this winter is if it snows. Because it gets dark at 5:30 outside and we have to go to bed at 5:30. I was 13 years old. What 13-year-old wants to go to bed at 5:30? But the only way that mom and dad would let us go outside and play past dark time is if it snowed outside. And so I went to this pastor and I looked at him and I said, would you please teach me how to pray? I read about it. I heard about it. But I didn't know how to do it because I wanted to learn how to pray so I could pray for snow. And so this pastor sat me down and he taught me for the first time ever in my life how to pray. And he put it so simple. You just talk to God like he's your best friend. You tell him what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and he will answer. And then he said one more thing. God always answers prayers. And I thought to myself, well, bingo. If that's how easy it is to ask and God always answers prayers, I'm going to get me my snow tomorrow. And the next day, I remember being so excited, running up to the window and looking outside. And I was expecting to see snow. And guess what? There was no snow. And I thought, well, what went wrong? And about 2.5 months later, there was still no snow. And I was pretty disappointed. And I remember going to church and looking at this pastor, and I raised my hand, and I wasn't quite as excited as I usually was. And I looked at him, and I said, did you know that this prayer thing doesn't work? And on that day, he taught me a very valuable lesson, and he said, Isabel, let me tell you something. God always answers prayers. Just sometimes, his answers look differently than what you imagine. Keep your eyes open. Keep watching. God will answer. And so I thought to myself, okay, God, you have about 3 more weeks as far as I'm concerned. And I put him in my little 3-week box and I gave him my deadline. I wanted a white Christmas. We were about 3 weeks from Christmas. And Christmas Day came and it didn't snow and I was so disappointed. And I remember tucking this little book back in that hole. And I vowed not to ever take it out again, because what's the point? If these stories are just stories after all, I know them all. But if there is really not a big God behind it, like my pastor has been saying, then what's the point? And it was the day after Christmas that people were running on the streets. And in Romania, when people ran on the streets, there was one thing happening. It was something at the grocery store. So we were trained as kids to run as quick as we could and put our shoes on and get in line. We didn't even ask the question what was there, because whatever they had, we didn't have it. So we got excited, whatever it was. And as we were running, trying to get to the grocery store as quickly as we could, people were passing by the grocery store. We were thinking, where are they going? You belong to a grocery store in Romania. You can't just go to any grocery store. And so, but they looked so excited, so we followed them. And we ended up in the center of our little town, and people were shouting, trucks are coming, trucks are coming, trucks are coming. And they looked so excited. And trucks started to pull in. And they opened the backs of these trucks, and they were filled with beautiful, colorful boxes like we have never seen before in our lives. And they started to give out these boxes to everybody who was there. And a lady came up to me with a box. It didn't look quite like this. It was wrapped in colorful paper. It wasn't the Operation Christmas Child logo on it. But it was wrapped in beautifully colorful paper, and she handed it to me. You don't just get something for nothing in Romania. And I looked at her and I said, what do I have to do? And she said, nothing. You just take it. It's yours. And then she looked at me and she said, is there anything I can pray with you for? And I thought to myself, well, this is my moment. If you would please pray with me for snow, that would be great. And this lady knelt down to come down to my level. And she prayed with me right there and then for snow. Gave me a hug and then went on, and I didn't see her again. But here I was left with this box in my hand, and I remember opening up this box, and the first thing that I saw was color everywhere. I have never seen that much color in my life, but there was one little thing tucked in the corner of my box that I really didn't know what it was. But as I was looking at it, and I still have it, and I brought it here with me today to show you. But as I was looking at this little thing, trying to figure out what it was, and I pulled it out, and I was holding it just like this. A little boy who was passing me by, he took my hand with his hand, and he just said, just shake it, shake it, shake it. And it used to have water in it. It broke last year, but the most beautiful snow was right in front of my face. And it was that moment for me when I understood what my pastor was saying 3 weeks before, that God always answers prayers, just sometimes his answers look differently than what I imagine. And this was his way of telling me, Isabella, I see you, and I know you, and I know the desires of your heart, and I know your name, and I know that you are ready to give up on me, and I am not ready to give up on you. And I just want you to know that I'm here and I'm listening. And that was the day that all that knowledge that I had about this amazing God that I have been treating like a genie in a bottle and put him in my little 3-week box, and I gave him my little deadlines. I understood that's not who he is, but he knows me. And he knows every hair on my head. And he knows my name, and he knows your name, and he cares. And I understood on that day, and all that knowledge that I had about him finally made those 18 critical inches down to my heart, and I understood him. I didn't just know about him, but now I knew him. And that was a critical moment in my life, and I dedicated my life to him, and life has not been easy. But life is so much better when he's the center of what we do. Now, I know that many of you shoebox packers raising your eyebrows thinking, you cannot put a snow globe in your boxes, Isabella. And you are right, you can't. Not anymore. But what I have learned throughout the years is that God is a God who can take a simple shoebox and can put it always in the right hands. Because when you pack those little boxes, God already has a child in mind. And I want to leave you with one simple challenge today. As you pack shoeboxes, as you look at these, as you see them coming into your collection center, if you have part in putting them on the trucks, I want to encourage you to not see boxes anymore. But behind every box, would you see a child? Would you see a child's face? Today I can stand here before you as just one of the 146 million children who received shoeboxes so far through Operation Christmas Child. Just one. Imagine the millions of stories that God has written and the millions of children that can say, I am a child of God because of a simple shoebox and because of your faithfulness. So thank you for being faithful. Thank you for serving in this way. And thank you for having me here today.
Wow. Here's your Bible. Yeah. You know, I knew what the end of the story was because I watched a video on YouTube and I still cried when she said that. I'm a softie. I cry at movies. I cry all the time. But that was such a powerful story. Thank you. So my name is Ashley McGlone. I'm one of the pastors here at New Song. And you happen to join us on a special Sunday morning. We're going to talk just a little bit about what's coming up for us this year as a church. And we're really excited to talk to you about our vision for this year as a church, as a blueprint. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Our church's mission, in other words, what is it we're about? We are to follow Christ in every aspect of life, to do what he said to do, to practice what he taught us. You know, several people this year have had a New Year's resolution that they're going to memorize the word. Jesus memorized the word and he quoted the word. And so we're following Christ in every aspect of life. And for us as a church, what does that look like when we say we're going to follow Christ? What is our vision for that? It's to glorify God as an ever-increasing circle of love where there's always room for one more. And that's the family of God, the love. We're always welcoming others in to join that circle of love that God has invited all of us to. And we're a part of an association of churches called Great Commission. And one of their core values is that every member is a minister, not just Jack or myself or the deacons, but every member has a role to play. And so as we look at these things, we want to look at our vision for this next year. And it comes out of this passage in Matthew chapter 22. So you don't have to stand this morning, but if you just read this with me. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So Jesus was asked, now these guys were up to no good, they were trying to catch him, but they asked him, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible that we should remember? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To be all in with the Lord. And that's our vertical relationship to God. But then he said, now that's not all, because if that's all you do, well, you need to do one other thing. You need to also love your fellow man. Love one another. He said, it's just like the first one. If you're going to love God, you're loving people also. And that's why we do Operation Christmas Child here, so that we can show God's love to people we've never met all around the world when they receive these gifts. I tell you, when we set up the boxes over here to pack, there are times when I'm sitting there with a shoebox in my hand and I'm just thinking, somebody I've never met is going to receive this box. And I'll never see them and they'll never see me, but this is real. We get the chance to touch people's lives that we never would have gotten to do before. And so we're showing God's love just like Christ told us to do here. And the first relationship, though, is that relationship to God, to know him first. Now, on the internet these days, have you heard this phrase, seen this anywhere, TLDR? Have you seen that? I know everybody's not as all hip and trendy on the internet. There's this little phrase, kind of like LOL. I think everybody's gotten that one by now, laugh out loud, right? Well, there's another one called TLDR. and it says, too long, didn't read. Our attention span is so bad these days. You see, you click on a link and it's the article's this long. You're like, I'm not going to read that. That's, come on. So there's this little thing now called TLDR. If it's too long, I'm not going to read it. So just tell me, what is this, really? Just sum it up for me. So if we were to sum this up, it says, love him and love them. That's what Jesus is saying here. Love him and love them. And that's what we do in Operation Christmas Child. So our theme as a church this year is people. God's treasure, our treasure. Because when we put God first and we seek him first and we look into the face of the Father, we see the world reflected back in his eyes. So we are to treasure people because God treasures people. It's not that we're putting people above our duty to God, our relationship with God, but that's what God says in the Word when we're reading these stories in the Bible and people get close to God, what happens? When they get really close to God, he tells them to what? Go. And when we get so close to God, he says, go. Well, wait a minute, we're supposed to be close, right? He says, go. Go tell them, go do, go show, go be my hands and feet to tell other people about this relationship that they can have too. And so that is our vision this year, is that to see people as God treasures them, that they would be our treasure also. So as a church, we want to be a church where every person is treasured, both outside the church and inside the church as well. We have a big emphasis on the Great Commission, going and telling others the gospel. And that's true, but also we want to balance that with a focus inward as well, that every person that comes in our door here on Sunday morning should feel treasured. And we want to make sure that happens. And so this takes the form of relationship and leadership. And so this year we're going to work on that first relationship that Jesus talked about, our relationship to God. That's our first relationship. After that, we're going to look at discipleship. And that's a fancy word. But basically what it means is there are people who are a few steps ahead of me in their walk with the Lord, and I can learn something from them. And there are people who are a few steps behind me in their walk with the Lord, and they can learn something from me. And so that's discipleship, mentoring one another. In our Christian walk, we want to focus on that. We also want to focus on small groups this year. We have a lot of small groups at the church. We want to continue and build and invest in that so that we can share life with one another through the week. We also want to look at this Sunday morning meeting, our large group meeting, and help more people get involved here on Sunday morning. But then as we draw that circle of our large Sunday morning meeting, there are still little circles outside this gathering here. There are other people that we want to reach outside these walls. And so as we look at treasuring other people like God does, we want to realize that that involves the people right here in our midst, showing them God's love in a practical way, as well as the people that we work with and the people that we go to school with and the people that we're in the checkout line at the grocery store. We want to make sure that everybody knows that God treasures them and we are how God achieves that. We are his hands and feet. It also takes the form of leadership. The Bible talks about the church like God's flock of a bunch of sheep. And Jack and I are pastors, and that word is literally shepherd in the Bible. So we are like shepherds with a bunch of sheep. And there's a lot of sheep for us to keep up with. And so we need help with that. We have volunteers on Sunday morning that make coffee and clean the church and smile and shake hands and sing on the platform. But lots of volunteers at the church that really help things go. We also have some deacons that help serve in the church. But now, this year, we're going to introduce a new leadership opportunity, a leadership team that kind of sits between those. So now we want to broaden our reach and begin to train more leaders as people begin to volunteer and want to, you know, a part of coming to church is not just so that we can sit and receive, because we believe, like we said earlier, every person is a minister here. And we want you to be able to use your gifts. And we want you to be able to find leadership opportunities and a way that we can help you develop your gifts. And so we want to focus on that this year as well. So relationships and leaderships. And so we're going to be talking about those in Sundays throughout the rest of the year. And we're taking some practical steps even this morning. In the back, on your as you're way, on going out, there's a little table out there for a visitor's welcome. We have a stack of calendars for the year. You can see all the different events we're planning, the men's retreat, the women's retreat, the marriage events, all the kite party coming up in March. I had a blast at the kite party. There wasn't enough wind, really, but we did get a few kites in the air. We're going to try that again this year. Looking forward to that, reaching out in the community and reaching children. So we've got a lot planned in our calendar for the church this year, and you can find that also on our website at inewsong.com. We also have a small group handout on the same table back there. Many people have been asking for this, and so we finally got that together. So now you can find a list of the groups that are available for you to participate in through the week. Today in your bulletin, there's an insert with a survey, and we would really like to know from you, what are the things that we're doing well as a church, and where are the areas that we can improve? So if you would take some time today or even come back with it next week, you can fill that out in your bulletin, or you can fill that out online, even from your smartphone. You can go to inewsong.com/survey, because as shepherds, Jack and I, we want to listen to the flock and understand where are the problems that we need to be aware of to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And then finally, we're asking everybody to update their contact info. Also in your bulletin, there's the blue card where we can write prayer requests. And we would also ask you, unless you've done this in the last 2 weeks, please go ahead and write down for us your name, your email, your phone, your address, so that we can just update our church information so that when Jack and I get a call, we know how to reach you. Because here's the funny thing about, if we want to treasure people, we have to know how to get in touch with them, right? So it would help us a lot if you would update your contact information. So those are just some practical things. You can also go out to inewsong.com/members. Go to our website. There's a new members link up there. And you can create an account there where you can enter your contact information online if you'd prefer to do it that way. You can do that from your phone or your computer at home. So lots of ways. So these are just some practical things that we're trying to do to kind of get this vision started this year, to have more contact information so we know how to treasure people, how to get in touch with them and show them that they're loved. So we want to be a church that's growing, a church that treasures people, where people feel valued and they feel cared for. And if there's some way this last year that you didn't feel cared for, we want to know that. And that's why we've asked you to fill out this little survey for us today. So this requires intentional relationship and leadership. We want to make sure that we've got the pieces in place in the church that make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. And that's our vision this year, that every person feels treasured. So let's get there together. Now, as we close, let's go back to this verse. Love him and love them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some of you came this morning because you really enjoy packing shoeboxes. And that's the love them part, right? And I enjoy that too. And so we, as a church, will throw cartons on trucks while our fingers are numb. That's just what we do. We love it. Even though it's cold outside, we don't like the cold either. But we are going to be packing shoeboxes and loading them on trucks to send them around the world. That's just what we do. And so that's loving them. But maybe some of you this morning don't know so much about loving him. And we want to talk about that part of it too. We'll talk about this more this year, but I thought it would be appropriate. You know, it is Super Bowl Sunday. Somebody told me that I had to be informed that it was the Super Bowl today. I'm not a sports person, but I did see Tim Ianni's Facebook page. Did you see that picture on Tim's page last night? His house is decked out in Patriots. I mean, everything is covered in Patriots. And so if you want to watch the game tonight, it's going to be really exciting at his house. So, yeah. But on the sidelines, you see these guys with the tablets and they're writing plays and all that. I thought, what would be more appropriate than on a Sunday morning? Then let's get out the tablet and let's write some plays. How's that? We're going to pretend like it's a Super Bowl, all right? So this is on this theme of knowing Him, in addition to loving them, we want to love Him first. And so if you don't have that relationship with the Lord, we'd like to draw a little play here to help you figure out how to do that. So there's a verse in Romans that many believers have memorized. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift," the gift that we talked about this morning, "the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if we're going to draw a play, we've got to put our little person down here on the screen. And I am quite an artist, as you can tell. All right, so this is our play person. Now, if we look at this verse, "the wages of sin is death." So let's write that down here. Wages of sin is death. Now, if anybody says that they deserve death, that's a pretty serious thing. We don't talk about that much in our culture. But why, you know, in a society where everybody's right and everybody just lets each other get along, where are we to say that we deserve death? Now, wages are something that you've earned, and you may not be aware of it, but you have earned death, the Bible tells us, because we have sinned. And you think, well, wait a minute, I live a pretty good life, right? But have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? You know, when I was a kid, about 7 years, six, four, no, maybe about 4 or 5 years old, I helped myself to a pack of breath mints on the way out at the grocery store one day with Mom. And we got home, she said, "Where did you get those?" So I do have a past of stealing. I apologize, you know. And we laugh at that, but there are other serious things that God told us in His Word not to do, like not to commit adultery. Even in our thoughts, we should be faithful to our spouse. You know, these things that we're not supposed to do, and we are all guilty of these things, and that's called sin. So over here on the left, the wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned. But then over here on the right is God. Now, we just talked about how Jesus said we want to get to God. That's the goal right there. There's God in the verse. So let's, whoops, there we are. Let's underline that. There's God. All right. So on the left side is us. On the right side is God. Now, we want to get to God because over there is a free gift of eternal life. Now, it's free. It's a gift. It's eternal life. It's forgiveness of all those things that we've done wrong. That's huge. We can walk away with a clean conscience, knowing that we've been washed from our sins, that God has forgiven us. And there's this little word, but, right there. We're going to put that in the middle. But. That means you deserve death, but something else happened. But says there's a contrast coming, something different here. But there's this free gift. Just like Isabella said, what do I have to do to give you for this? Nothing. It's free. It's a free gift. And that's what God has for us. This free gift that we didn't earn and we can't earn. See, the problem is, as we're looking at this chasm between us and God, people try to build their own little bridge out of, let's say, good works, like sending shoeboxes around the world. If I love enough kids in the world and send enough shoeboxes, will that get me to heaven? No, it won't do it. What if I just live a good life? How's that? And let's throw a little hope in there. So I want to build my little bridge here, and I hope that I've done enough good things that will get me to heaven when I die. But that's not enough, because this will just fall in. There's no foundation there. So let's take those things out of the picture. Let's erase that. So how do we do that then? How do we get from where we are to where God is? Well, that's right here. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So let's draw the cross in here. So we'll put the cross right here in the middle. Oops, there we go. And we'll write right there, Christ Jesus. He's the bridge. Now, how do we do that? How do we get the bridge between us and God? Well, this last word there, Lord. When we make Christ the Lord of our life, in other words, we decide to choose what He values. The stories that Isabella was reading in the Bible, we read those stories and we imitate Christ. We walk in His ways. We confess our sins and say, God, I'm sorry, I can't do it all. I've tried. I can't make myself clean. Only God can do that. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, then that's the way we get to God. When we make Him Lord of our life. So we love Him, and then loving them just comes easy. Because let's face it, there are some people in here, it's kind of hard to love. I didn't mean to say in this room. Out there, there's some people that are hard to love, right? But when God's Spirit is inside of us and we can look at them through the eyes of Jesus with compassion, say, they need that same forgiveness that I received. So this morning, if you haven't received this free gift that Isabel talked about, we would love to pray with you. We would love to talk with you and pray with you. So after we dismiss here, a few of us will be up here at the front. We'd love for you to come up and talk to us. And we would love to help you find this free gift this morning that's waiting on you also. So people are God's treasure and they're our treasure. And that's what we want to be about as a church this year. So let's pray.